Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Haggai, the second chapter. Haggai chapter 2 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 963. Page 963, we'll be reading the first five verses of this second chapter. If you're having a problem, it's the third last book from the end in the Old Testament. Let us stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these five verses responsively. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And join me also on verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We get to go to church here. We get to come to an evening service. And as most of us are here on purpose, we love the church. We love the fellowship. We love our preacher. And we love thy word. And we pray that you'd mingle all of this together in a blessed time, this hour of the preaching of thy word. We've enjoyed the singing. We've enjoyed participating. Now we pray that you'd give us alertness and carefulness to hear the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Music has been beautiful tonight, hasn't it? And thanks to all who have a part. I'm going to read without your turning to it my text verse tonight and give you both the title and text of my message. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And here, so my spirit remaineth among you. I want to speak tonight on that subject. My spirit remaineth among you. I hope you'll give me a good hearing as I talk to you about this. Father, I come tonight wanting to be a help to our people. That's all in the world I want to do. I've been preaching here 40 years, almost 41. I've never one time asked you to help me preach a good sermon. Never once. Not one time in 41 years, nearly, have I ever asked you to help me preach a good sermon. But I've asked you thousands of times, and I ask you again tonight, help me to be a blessing to these, our people. Please. That's all I ask. Amen. I was in the city of Salisbury, Maryland. That's on the eastern shores of a peninsula-type land, the eastern shores of our country. I was driving down the street in a borrowed car, and I looked, stopped at a stoplight, and diagonally across the street, I saw something that arrested my attention. I saw two concrete slabs of houses with no structure above the concrete. The first house on the corner obviously had been burned. The walls were leveled. Everything was leveled except you could see the charred foundation, the charred concrete slab. It was obvious that that house had been burned. Right beside that house was a house that likewise had a slab, It was obvious that that house had never been built. Somebody, no doubt, had started building the house. It was likewise obvious that that slab had been there quite some time. I inquired and found that that was the case. So here, side by side, were two slab foundations. One, a foundation of a house that had been burned. The other, a foundation of a house that had never been erected. I'm going to come back to that after a while as I talk to you on the subject, My Spirit Remaineth Among You. The Temple of Solomon was magnificent. The gold and silver alone in the Temple of Solomon was estimated to have been valued at over $3 billion. 183,000 construction workers were employed. Get that now. 183,000 workers were employed for the building of this magnificent temple. 80,000 hewers of wood and stone. 70,000 bearers of burden, or laborers, if you please. 30,000 Jews were employed, and 153,000 Canaanites were employed in building this magnificent temple far beyond description by words. 3,600 overseers, we'd call them foremen or subcontractors, 3,600 of them. By the way, this magnificent temple, valued at over $3 billion, just the silver and gold, this magnificent temple was built without the use of a hammer or an axe or any tool of iron whatsoever. This amazing temple, magnificent building, built over a period of 7 years. Think about that. 7 years, 183,000 construction workers. This temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. The Jews were in captivity during the 70-year period, and this temple, the wasted temple and the remains of the destroyed temple were there for 70 years. 70 years it lay in shambles. Don't leave me now. Led by a man named Zerubbabel, after 70 years, reconstruction was started on this temple. Enemies discouraged them, the workers, and the work was stopped on the second temple. We call the Temple of Zerubbabel, and the work was stopped. The people, the Bible says, got more concerned about their own houses than they were the house of God. And the Bible says that they dwelt in sealed houses, but let the house of God, the temple, go unfinished. But God raised up two preachers. One was an older preacher named Haggai. The other was a younger preacher named Zechariah. Anything that's ever been done worthwhile in any nation in the history of mankind has been done because some preachers were involved. Preaching is what made this country. Politicians didn't make this country. George Washington didn't make this country. Old-fashioned preachers made this country. God raised up these two preachers, older Haggai and younger Zechariah, to preach the people, travel and preach the people, to begin again the reconstruction of the temple of Zerubbabel. Work was begun again because of these preachers, and it was finished. However, there was some disappointment. The older people who had seen the first temple were not satisfied with the second temple. No note-taking, please. Put your pens up. Listen to me now. The older people were not satisfied with the new temple, for the temple of Zerubbabel could not compare to the temple of Solomon. They did not have all the millions of dollars and billions of dollars in gold and silver that David had gathered in gathering the materials for the building of the first temple. And the older people were somewhat disgusted and discouraged because the second temple could not compare with the first temple. Then my text. God comes along and admitted the fact that the second temple could not compare to the first. But God made this statement, I am with you, and here's my text, My spirit remaineth among you. Rather have the Spirit of God in a storefront building than not have the Spirit of God in a great cathedral somewhere. That's one thing that's happened to our churches across America. We've gotten so satisfied with our big cathedrals, our padded pews, and our carpeted buildings, and our beautiful edifices, we've forgotten that that's not what builds a church. All across America, young preachers feel, if I can just get this building built, we can have, our church will grow. And all the church grows when the power of God and the Spirit of God is there. And so, here is this, shall I say, second-rate temple, not comparable to that magnificent first structure, but God comes along and says, I'm the one that made the first temple, and I can make the second temple. And so God says, my spirit remaineth among you. It is not what the first temple was, but it still was usable because God's Spirit remained in that temple and it still could be used. There is a temple today. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20 teaches us that my body and your body are temples of the Holy Spirit. Like the old temple of old, most of us, to some extent, can relate to the Temple of Solomon and the Temple of Zerubbabel. For most of us have had times in our lives where our temple was somewhat in need of repair. And there are people tonight whose lives have been destroyed, and the first temple has been destroyed. And you wasted years, or you committed some awful sins, and you wasted some years, and you cannot be what you could have been, and you cannot have the life that you could have had. But I want to tell you, if you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God still remains inside you. Some have wasted years and cannot become what they could have become. But this, His Spirit remaineth in you, and you can still be used. Others of you have sinned and marred the first temple. You've fallen into what we call deep sin, and the first temple has been marred. But I've got news for you. Though you cannot do what you could have done, bless God, His Spirit remains in you, and you still can be used. And the God that used that first temple can use the second temple. Not the magnitude He used the first temple. It's not magnificent like the first temple. But bless God, dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. And God comes along and says, I know this second temple is not like the first. I know your life is not what it could have been. And I wish for every young person in this room tonight, you'd never know what it's like for the first temple to be destroyed. I wish for every young person in this room tonight, you could never taste the taste of alcoholic beverage. You could never know what it's like to smoke a cigarette. Narcotics would never be inside your veins or inside your body. I can wish that you'd walk up the platform and get married and enjoy your first kiss here at the platform on all the altar marriage. I can wish for that. I can wish that your first temple would stay like it always was. But bless God, if you have sinned and your life has been marred, I've got news for you. His Spirit still remains in you. And the second temple God can use, though not like He could have used the first temple, but He still will use the second temple. Some here have left the will of God. You've left God's original perfect will for your life. And you've walked where you should not have walked. You've gone where you should not have gone. You've said what you should not have said. You've been what you should not have been. You've done what you should not have done. But the honest truth tonight, you've left the will of God, and for numbers of years, no doubt, you walked outside the will of God, and you say to that, oh, would God, I have never known those wasted years. Would God, that sin had never entered into my life. Would God, I'd not left the will of God. And I would the same thing, and like I say, the very purpose of Hammond Baptist Schools, and the very purpose of City Baptist Schools, and the purpose of that youth program that man has right there, the purpose of this entire church is to see to it that young people like these down here on the front never walk out in the far country. We don't want you to be like a prodigal son. We want you to stay home and work like the brother did. And let your life never know what sin, your deep sin is like. But for some it's too late. You've left the will of God for your life. You've walked your own way and not His way.
I've got good news for you. If you are a child of God, I don't care where you've been or what you've done, His Spirit remains in you. And the God that could use you in the first temple can use you in the second temple. Let me say, for those of you considering sowing some wild oats, you'll never do what you could have done, but bless God, He can still use you and you can do something. Some of you have been expelled from school. I've got some news for you. You'll never be what you could have been, but bless God, you don't have to be what you could become either. Because if you're a child of God, I don't care what you've been expelled from school for and the numbers of people that are in this room, you look the devil square in the face and say, you've got a part of my life, but you're not going to get the rest of my life. You got that first temple, but I'm going to rebuild the temple, and God's going to rebuild the temple, and though I cannot do what I could have done, bless God, I will be used of Almighty God. Some of you failed in marriage. I never condemn people because of divorce. That's too late. I remind you that God does not want you to divorce, but it's too late for some of you. You failed in your marriage. Divorce has broken that first marriage, and maybe you're in your second or third marriage. And by the way, some of you are a lot better Christians than those of us who've only been married one time. But I'm trying to tell you that if you, okay, so you can't be a preacher. So you can't be a deacon. Well, bless God, He'll still use you. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, David's first temple was leveled, but God's Spirit remained in him. And there was a second temple. Let me remind you that Samson's first temple was leveled, but there remained in him the Spirit of God, and a second temple was erected. Let me remind you that Jacob's first temple was destroyed, but Jacob was used of God again, and the second temple was blessed. Remind you that Abraham had his first temple destroyed, but the second temple was used of God. Then reminds you that Noah had his first temple destroyed, but he rose to serve God again. Then reminds you that Moses' first temple was destroyed, but the Spirit of God remained in him, and he was used again. Then reminds you that Peter cursed and swore, denied the Lord. I don't belong to the church. I don't belong to Jesus. I don't belong to the faith. I'm not even a Christian. But bless God, the level temple was leveled, but bless God, the second temple raised up, and God used him again. Oh, let me tell you, I want you never to taste the awful taste of sin and to taste the dregs of the devil and to listen to the devil who's a liar and a cheat and a thief. I don't want you to do that, but let me say, if you have listened to him, the game's not over yet. God will use you again. Jonah had his first temple destroyed, but the second temple was used of God. John Mark had his first temple destroyed, but the second temple was used of God. Thomas had his first temple destroyed, but the second temple was used of God. Now then, may God help you that have never tasted sin. May God help you to keep the first temple. May God help you to be able to say, like some of these young people here can say, I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never taken a drink. I've never rustled an unholy skirt. I've walked with God. I've been trained right. I've listened to my Sunday school teachers. And by the way, it do some of you kids good to sit still and listen to what your teacher says on Sunday morning. And do some of you teenagers good to sit still, hear what this old man says on Sunday night also. Some of you listen, and you believe that man, and you believe your principals, and believe your Sunday school teachers, and believe this man. And by the grace of Almighty God, we're proud of you. But we're just as proud tonight of those of you whose first temple has been destroyed, but you've gotten back up, and God's using you again. My goal for you is that you never mar the old temple. My goal for you is that you be the best that you can be. My goal for you is that you never taste the dregs of sin. My goal for you is that you never leave the will of God. My goal for you is that you have no wasted years. But if you have had the old temple destroyed, and if you have tasted the dregs of sin, and you have spent time outside the will of God, And if you have wasted some years, my goal for you is to get back up on your feet and make the Father proud of you, because the second temple still remains, the Spirit of God still remains in it like it did the first. And so here's this temple over here. I think if it could, it would blush as it compares itself to the magnificence of the first one. But let me tell you something that's the same thing. The foundation. The foundation. The walls of this temple can't compare to the walls of this one. And the ornate decoration of this temple cannot compare to the ornate decoration of this one. And the mighty pillars of this temple can't compare to mighty pillars. But bless God, it's the same foundation. And you've got a foundation here at First Baptist Church of Heaven. A King James Bible foundation. An old-time religion foundation. A foundation of decency and character and standards and what's right and what's wrong. And you can go back to that foundation. Maybe you can't build what you had before, but the foundation is there and you can still build on that firm foundation. This is what I've lived for 41 years. For young people not to destroy the first temple. It's what First Baptist Church is all about. That's what Hammond Baptist Schools are all about. That's what Howells Henderson College is all about. That's what City Baptist Schools are all about. That's what our Sunday School is all about. That's what our youth program is all about. That's what our Little League Baseball program is all about. That's what our whole ministry here is built. And listen, those of us who are older, we know what we're talking about. As I said a while ago, the stinking devil's a liar. Don't you believe him? Don't you let him destroy that first temple. But if it's destroyed, hallelujah, it can't get the foundation. So God will use you again. But to those whose first temple has been destroyed, enter my second ministry. My first ministry is to keep you from sin. My second ministry is to pull you out of sin. My first ministry is to help you build that magnificent tabernacle where you can do anything that God calls you to do. But my second ministry is to help you rebuild your life. You will not be as magnificent as the first, but God can use you. Why? Because, as my text says, my Spirit remains in you. If tonight you have wasted years, His Spirit remains in you. If sin has marred you and destroyed the first temple, His Spirit remains in you. All over this building tonight, all over this building, there are people who've never strayed away from the will of God for their lives. And right beside those people are people who have strayed. There are Sunday school teachers teaching the same department. One teacher says, I want you to do what I've done and never stray in the deep sin. The other, with stained cheek stained with the salty, bitter tears of sin, stands up and says, young people, I can't say what this one said, but I can tell you, I've been there, and I know the devil's a liar and a cheat. Side by side, we sit tonight. The people tonight are ex-addicts, ex-drunkards, ex-alcoholics. There are ex-fallen women here in this room tonight. Graduation time. I stand right here in front of my chair. It's high school graduation. Here comes a young person up here to see his or her diploma. I'm talking about a guy like Jack Mitchell, Adam Murkowski, and I could go on and on and on. And I give them their diploma. And I want to shout the praises of God. Here are some young people who believed us. Here's some young people that kept the first temple standing straight. Here's some young people that can do anything that God wants them to do because they have not forfeited that right. And I'm so proud. And then another name is called. Maybe it's the next name. And he walks up or she walks up. And I remember that night that I got a call in the middle of the night. A parent that says, my daughter's run off with a boy. Or my son has been caught in an alcoholic party. And I remember the time that I talked to them in my study and pleaded with them. And then they believed me. Young folks, if you don't believe me the first time, believe me the second time. And this person walks up. I can hardly look at this crowd without weeping for joy. You don't serve the same people 41 years without looking and seeing trophies of the grace of God. Here's one who's the prodigal son's brother, who stayed at home, never disobeyed his father. I shake his hand, give him his diploma, pat him on the back and say, I'm proud of you. Here comes one that's tasted the far country and knows what the hog pen is like and knows what the husk tastes like. But this one comes back to God. He's not what he used to be, but bless God, he's salvageable and usable for God. And I have the same joy when I give him his diploma. Let me go back to my story, Salisbury, Maryland. I got out of the car. I walked over to those two slabs and foundations. Here was one that had smoke, scars, signs of smoke all over it. I checked and found that that house had been there for years, but had been burned. I walked over to the one next door to it. It had never had any walls built. Somebody ran out of money, I found out. They couldn't finish the house. Hear me carefully. If I were a house and I had to have a slab foundation, that's all. I'd rather be the first house than the second house. I'd rather be shipwrecked than a ship that's never been used. And some of you Pharisees never done anything for God. Wrap your phylacteries around yourself and criticize these folks who've fallen. I said again, I've got more respect for a fella in the gutter that one time was used for God than somebody who's a child of God and never has been used of God. I walked back in the back and I said, I think this is where the bedroom probably was. And here's the kitchen. And here's the dining room. At one time, some people rested back here in this bedroom. A dear lady cooked in this kitchen, and a family gathered around a table here in the dining room. This house is not being used, may never be used again, but it has been used. I walked over to another house, and there was a slab. Nobody ever rested inside one of its rooms. Nobody ever cooked a meal inside one of its rooms. Nobody ever eaten around a table inside one of its rooms. And tonight, may I say it again, I have more respect for a person who's walked with God and done some good for God, who's stumbled and fallen, than I have the Pharisees who don't ever do anything for God except criticize those that have stumbled or fallen. I'll tell you something else, too. It's time some of you people decided to try to pick these fallen folks up instead of kicking them back down. God said to Ezekiel and to tell the prophets of his day, he said, tell the shepherds of your day, the fallen you've not lifted, the broken you've not mended, the sick you've not healed. Bless God, I'm here to shout to you, don't do it, don't do it, keep that first temple. But if you destroyed the first temple, I am not going to give up on anybody who's here. I hesitate to do what I'm about to do, but I think it's the best thing to do. I want two young men to walk up here. Adam, come up here, Adam.
Mike Ramsey. I'm very proud of these fellows.
Here's a young man right here that grew up at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. So did his mother, so did his grandparents, so did his great-grandparents. This young man was in the nursery, beginner department, primary, juniors, junior high school. Probably started to school, Hammond Baptist School, is that right?
Yeah.
Went to all the way through kindergarten to the grade school, Hammond Baptist grade school, junior high school. Now as a graduate of Hiles Henderson College. You are a graduate now, aren't you? Not yet. He's only been there 9 years. But he is one of the best students in the sophomore class. But he's in Hiles Henderson College. I doubt very seriously, and don't tell me if I'm wrong, you'll ruin the sermon. I doubt very seriously if these lips have ever curled around a cigarette or a bottle. This young man, as far as I know, has believed us. Here's the First Temple. I'm just as proud of this young man right here. I went to the county jail and visited him one day. He didn't listen to us. Oh, he grew up in the church. He didn't listen to us. His First Temple was destroyed. We thought he'd never hope. We almost lost hope for him. Down and down and down he went until finally he ended up behind bars. I talked to him through a little microphone kind of a thing out at the Lake County Jail. He doesn't have his First Temple. It's been destroyed. But brother, he got back on his feet. And he's built a pretty good Second Temple. This is what it's all about. This is what I've given my life for. For this and for this. And so the day that you go out into sin, whenever you go to the bottom, and by the way, you will get to the bottom, don't forget, if you'd like to talk to me, I'd like to talk to you. And I'll do what I can to help you reconstruct the temple that's been leveled. It will not be as magnificent as the one you were at. And Mike will be the first one to tell you tonight, he wished his testimony is like Adam's testimony. But I want you to know I'm proud of this guy right here. I love him like he's my own son. Out of the jailhouse and out of the dregs of sin and the depths of the devil's hog pen and back to service for God. Thank you, fellas. Give him a hand. And so tonight, let me say to those children and teenagers who are here, and those of you who still your First Temple is under construction, let me get on my knees tonight and say to you, I beg you listen to what I'm saying. I have no rules that I want you to follow just because I want my way. We've not thought of a bunch of things that are fun, of which to deprive you. Not at all. I've talked to 4 young people this week whose First Temple has been pretty well marred. And all 4 of them, as far as I know here tonight, I want you to tell you, I haven't given up on you. And I'm your preacher. And I'm proud to be your preacher. I want you to know that for the house, listen, not a one of you has been as far down as that young man did. Not one of you. But you're going to get there if you don't watch it. But I want you to know tonight, I say to those of you who never tasted the dregs of sin and your First Temple still under construction, on my knees I say, listen to me. Listen to us. Believe what we're saying. But to those of you whose First Temple's been leveled, God says, my Spirit remaineth in you. My Spirit remaineth in you. Let me come over here and say to you, I beg you tonight, let us help rebuild your temple for you. We built the first one with you and gave our lives so you could have it. But now then it's been somewhat marred. Won't you come and let us help you rebuild? Listen carefully. He who is not trying to help you rebuild the temple is not your friend. he who would lead you away from the rebuilding of the temple is not your friend. And so tonight, let's join hands as a church in doing what we can to keep these temples over here beautiful and useful and usable. And then once we have seen people who not listen to us, let us not kick them down farther and farther and farther. Let us not be on the telephone and gossip and gossip and gossip. If you're going to make a phone call to the kid you're criticizing. Or the person you're criticizing. And tell him you love him and tell him you're pulling for him. And tell him that you want to help him. So as I look across this crowd tonight, I can point anywhere in the choir, anywhere in the building, I could point. You give me just a few seconds and I'll tell you somebody there of whom I'm so proud. Because the first temple stands straight, erect, clean, pure, and beautiful. I can also tell you anywhere in this building some people of whom I'm just as proud. I did not want the first temple destroyed. But I'm just as concerned about salvaging your life and reminding you that the same God that dwelt over there in that temple dwells over here in this temple. And so God says to his people, sure, that temple was more magnificent. Sure, it took 180,000 people to build it. Sure, $3 billion in silver and gold. And I understand this temple's not comparable to that one. But there's one thing this one has, that one has, and that is my spirit. So tonight I say again, listen to us, young people. Don't destroy the hopes and dreams that God has for you and his plans. But if you have, Mike will tell you, there's a way back. There's a way back. He's the God of a second chance. And he's the God of a second temple.